We're back to Neil Haley Show, and I'm first excited to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollows, author of the Hollow Man series, CEO of Seniors Publishing and Hollow Man Publishing. How are you, Paul? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Very excited. Dawn, we have Dawn Major, and I have to read this because it's very important here to introduce her. She is an author at the Southern Literary Review and William Gay Archives. So very impressive there. And we're very interested to see what she's going to tell us today. And we're going to learn something.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dawn. So how did it start out for you in writing?
Oh, seventh grade, but I won't take you back that far. No, I think most writers, it starts with some teacher that encourages you. And I definitely had that. I was in Catholic school. We had to read a story at the end, like a writing prompt like we do nowadays, and then read it out loud. And as soon as I had an audience, I was hooked. I'm not like this introverted author. I'm kind of the, even though I'm in my little hidey-hole in here in my writing nook, I'm not introverted really at all. So I enjoyed that. Now, you don't just become a writer. It just doesn't happen. And most writers don't get paid, obviously. So I thought, you know, I had this dream, like go get my English degree, which I did. And then I went into a master's of professional writing program. And in graduate school, I just took all the creative writing classes. I wasn't really interested in all the other stuff that I later became interested in, like editing and publishing. So I lasted there for about a year, kind of discouraged. And I had this attitude that if I wasn't going to write, if I wasn't going to be successful at this, I just wasn't going to do it. So I ended up in banking for 15 years. But actually, it turned out to be quite interesting. And I ended up writing anyway. I was working financial crimes and I was doing profiles on high-risk clients. So I was writing these narratives. And I thought at this point, you know, 15 years later, I thought, well, if I can do this for them, I can do this for myself. And I had that book in me. Like I'd go back to stories. I have stories that are 20 years old, you know, that I go back. I don't even publish them. They're just my stories that kind of capture that period of like when I was in the desert, not writing, you know.
Okay.
And then when I decided to do it, like really fully do it, then I commit it. And I went and got, first I went and got one of those writing certificates through Emory. And that just wasn't quite enough. And then I went and got my graduate degree, Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing in Ottawa Valley as a low residency program. And I just kind of threw everything into, I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I said yes to everything that came my way, which opened up a lot of opportunities for me.
So let's kind of talk about, Dawn, like how the it all, like your books. Well, how many books have you written?
Well, I'm in anthologies and I've published a lot. I've written one book, Bystanders, but I've been in a lot of journals and reviews and academic stuff as well. I'm always working on like three different novels, it seems, or like collections of short stories. I just got to focus on one for now. But The Bystanders is my debut novel. It's a linked narrative story. And hopefully I'll have another one out in the next year or so.
All right. Yeah. So let's jump into specifically enough the one book you wrote. Tell us about that.
Okay. The Bystanders is about, it's really largely inspired by my life. In the like late 70s and 80s, my parents, we were living in Los Angeles. And they didn't want us growing up in that kind of chaotic, fast world. And so they sold everything and we made this exodus, kind of like what you see happening with everybody moving off grid. So we did that. My dad was building our house and we were growing our own food and all this kind of stuff. You know, it was just, and then the economy kind of tanked and he lost his job and he left and we stayed. So this was about a town. It's also about a town. So the towns in this novel, Lawrenceton and St. Genevieve and Bloomsdale, those are real towns. I tried to really use aspects from those towns because it was such a unique place. It was part of the Louisiana Purchase. And so these people were more like Southerners than Midwesterners. It was on the Mississippi River. And in fact, New Orleans was the capital at one time. So when I went there, it was like moving to Mars. They still spoke Papaw French. I had friends whose grandparents spoke nothing but German. And so it's like the oldest town west of the Mississippi. They still have the French colonials. And I think it's a national park now. It's beautiful, highly steeped in tradition. So for us coming from Los Angeles, we dress different. We sounded different. we were just complete outsiders. And so I used that experience with Shannon Lamb samples. And of course, she has this awful stepfather and they're living in this trailer. And so they're just like, they're everything that does not represent what that town wants, you know, tradition and conservative values. And that there's some people in the town that like her. So I just explore that. And another thing that I explore is why it's called the Bystanders is because when I was younger, I really kind of felt at times, and if you read the book, I borrow a lot from my life. Like I said, there's situations that where Shannon is in or some characters in where they, maybe they want to change something or affect change, but they can't because they're weaker or they're a child and someone else is, they expect someone else to do it. So I played around a lot with that theme now, and I've had the people debate it on social media. I've had people say that that's stupid. There are innocent bystanders. I just wanted to create discourse about it. But I was also very interested in Kitty Genovese's story, you know, where the bystander effect phenomenon came from in New York, where this, and I think the news kind of greatly sensationalized some of it. But at the end of the day, this is a woman that got raped and killed and was crying for help and no one really helped her. So I just kind of played around with that theme. Some people might agree with what I did with it. Some people might not. I don't know. That's fine with me too.
All right. So let's kind of jump into specifically enough what I think is an interesting story, the whole LA to that story, mm-hmm. the characters. So it's not really about you. You created something else out of it, right?
I did. No, it's not like a fictionalized memoir. I'd say it's probably 20% based on things that happened or like, the move was a major impact. And then 80% just, it's fiction. It's fiction. Names are made up. No, it's not a memoir anyway. When it gets
How long ago did you write that book?
When did I write it?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to say because I wrote it like I was done with it, I think 2 years ago. And then I had some issues with a publisher, like small presses and COVID didn't do too well. So then I had to find another publisher. So I finished it. To be frank, I don't think anything's ever finished. If I could work on it again right now, I would. But no, I finished it. It got published in March of this year and technically finished by January because I was still tweaking some things then.
So you're busy with the short stories and things like that as well to keep you going, right?
Yeah, I'm also starting. I just got approval for, I've been doing this blog called Southern Red because I realized when I graduated that, you know, and also working with the William Gay Archive, and this is a voice that was so important that could have been lost forever. I realized that I wanted to work with authors that are living too. It's not always easy working with a deceased author and their work. There's issues with chain of title and all that kind of thing. But I feel like I've done a lot with William to bring his name back out there. But I want to do that with like with Southern writers now. And so I've been working on collaborations between artists and Southern writers to kind of bring more focus to the whole, like everybody's together in this really. So that's going to launch probably in January. And yeah, I'm working on another William Gay book about his paintings. I recently curated an exhibit and brought his paintings to Georgia Center for the book. It was the first time we showed his paintings. A lot of people didn't realize that he was a painter as well. So I stay busy.
We have a lot of different things. Where is where is the best place people can find information on you, purchase your books, and learn more about you? Where can they go?
Oh, well, I have an author site, and it's just www.donmajor.com. And then get my books. You can get them from my website. I can send you a signed copy. I can mail that or Foxtail. And there's some local places in Georgia. And on Amazon, of course, but I don't like, you know, I like to be more independent bookstore, but it is available on Kindle and Amazon.
All right, Dawn, I can feel for you moving from LA to a small town. That's got to be hard. And you living in a small town now?
I am in downtown Atlanta. I'm a city girl.
you're like, no way am I going to live my whole life in small town after that experience.
I mean, I was young, so it was like I thought I was doing this whole little house in the prairie experience that was very popular back then. I mean, I tell you what, I even had a bonnet and I would pretend. But it was pretty rough. And we were hurting financially. You know, I mean, we just thank God for school lunches and uniforms, really. I mean, we really struggled, but
No.
you know, I'm doing okay now.
All
So,
right. Sounds good, Dawn. We appreciate it.
okay, thanks so much for having me.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.